onion. You're born into sin. And no matter how great you might be, you're only useful if you're pulled from the earth and made clean. First thing to go, the first thing that must go, are the roots. These things that tie us to this world, that tie us to our sinful nature. The next to go is the crown. You see, you're no longer king of your own life. Now next is these outer layers. They must be gone one layer at a time. And as each layer is pulled away, it reveals a new soft, fragrant, and fresh layer below it. As these layers are pulled away and done away with, we find what is left is something that is useful. It is clean. When we allow God to deal with us like this, it's then that we find that we become useful and that we have purpose.
I felt like Rachel Ray. Like I was doing a cooking show. Onions. I told several people I was preaching on onions this week, and I got some replies like, what? As Christians, if we get too close to people, we make them cry? Well, you know, not everybody likes onions. That's another story. But onions, we can be like onions. I'm sorry, y'all, I forgot. The children's church, you may be dismissed to children's church today. We don't have a children's sermon, so I forgot, y'all. But if you're of, what is it, third grade? Second grade down. Okay. You may be dismissed to children's church. They'll be right back there. If you're a parent with us today and your child has just left and you're wondering where they're going, they're going to take them right out back to the children's center out there, the little white building, and that's where they will be right after service. You can pick your children up out there. Okay, onions. We are like onions. We have layers. Has anybody seen the movie Shrek? Yes. Okay. Shrek is an ogre. He's a big green ogre. He said, ogres are like onions. They have layers. And it's true. We have layers. We have to peel back the layers. But as we do that, as we peel back the layers, we find that, just like I just showed in the video, we find that the layers below are fresh. They're pretty, or they're not crusty and scaly and crunchy, and I mean they're fresh, they're juicy, they smell, there's just a pleasing, and they're, you know, when you cook, do you use the outside layers for anything? No. I mean, I guess they serve a purpose, they protect the inside layers, but yet to be useful for what we need an onion for, we have to get rid of that stuff, right? The same is true for us. We're gonna look into this a little bit. And I've got several passages of Scripture for you today. I don't have them for the screen, so if you're taking notes, just jot these down. If not, if you're a fast flipper, you can flip to these passages real fast. The first one is Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. And it says this. Speaking of the onion, when it was plucked from the earth, born into sin. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says, when you were dead in your sin, in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. You see, that's paramount. That's so important. Even before we can begin to be talking about being useful as a Christian, we must first understand that we must be a Christian. And for that to happen, we have to recognize that we're born into sin and that Jesus Christ has come to remove us, to pluck us out of that sinful nature and clean us up. That only happens by Jesus Christ. The only way into salvation is through Jesus Christ. He tells us that explicitly in the Word of God. And I've done a lot of study this last several weeks and months for my school that I'm doing. But in this whole process, God is teaching me that as a worldview, we talked about our worldview, but our worldview is affected by our beliefs. Now, if you don't start with the Word of God as your belief system, if you don't start with the Word of God, then you won't, you can't have common ground with a Christian. The worldview has to be based on the Bible to have a biblical worldview. Born into sin. Very, very vivid illustration. How many of you are gardeners? Anybody ever raise a garden? Okay. When you pull something, a carrot, an onion, potatoes, you pull that stuff out and take it in the table and slice it up and lay it right on the table for everybody to enjoy? No. What do you do with it? You wash it. Why do you wash it? Because it's dirty. It's been in the world. It's got dirt on it. It's stained. It needs to be cleaned up. And that's what Jesus Christ offers to us. He offers to pull us up, clean us up, and begin to make us useful. You see, that's not the onion. When you pull it up and you wash it off, there's still more that has to happen. Right? What was the second thing that has to happen? Have to cut off the roots. Have to cut off all those things that tie us to this world have to go. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. We're called to be separate in the world, but not of the world, right? James chapter 1, verse 21. I told you we're going to fly through some of these verses. So James chapter 1, verse 21 says, therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save. The word of God can save. Did you know that? Is the power of God unto salvation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. That's those roots, y'all. Those things that tie us, that make us like everything else in the world. We got to get rid of that stuff. Cut those loose. Throw them out in the trash. Rachel Ray, when she uses the... I don't get to watch the Food Network anymore. When I was big and fat, y'all, I loved to watch the Food Network. And I, for some of you don't know, I've lost 140 pounds this year. I used to be big, and now I'm not. But one of the things I love to do is watch the Food Network. I love to watch cooking and all that stuff. Well, I found out that was one of my weaknesses. And so in order to help me, of course, I had some other help, but one of the things that I found that I needed to quit watching that stuff because I was kind of like feeding an addiction there. And so, but one of the things that Rachel Ray used to do all the time when she was cooking is she had this bowl, an empty bowl up on her table, and she called it the garbage bowl, the GB. And when she would cut stuff up and throw it away, she would just throw it in the GB. I mean, she'd put, you know, the roots of the onions, the skin, the top, the peeling potatoes, carrots, the empty soup cans or whatever. Everything went in the garbage bowl. And that way she didn't have to keep making trips. But that's the deal. You know, when we get rid of this stuff, we need to put it in the garbage bowl. I don't know how this would work in the realm of horticulture, but I know that in our lives, if we don't get rid of it and put it in the garbage bowl, sometimes we attract it back and it grafts back onto us, right? That old sinful nature, it comes back and it gets attracted to us, and we find that we haven't really gotten rid of the roots. We may have disconnected them at one point, but those roots are strong and they'll reattach. Kind of like a bionic arm or something that just reattaches, and then it's hard to get rid of. But you got to get, when you cut it loose, you got to throw it away. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. That verse says, get rid. Rid yourself of all these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. The next thing to go was the what? The crown. You're no longer king of your life. We must lose our sense of self-promotion, pride, and arrogance. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. We have a hard time with that sometimes because we want to look out for old number one. Who's number one? Well, we say we're number one. That means we're not allowing somebody else. They're always at least number two. That's as high as they can get, right? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says consider others better than yourselves. So when we say looking out for old number one, we ought to mean everybody else. And we become second. There's a whole movement out there called I Am Second. People that recognize that, you know, other people are more important. I want to be second. And they're making that claim, and they're living their lives. Some of them are living their lives that show they want to be second. They want other people around them to be first. That's a novel idea. Wonder where they got that idea from. The Word of God. Number four, the next thing to go, if we really want to be useful, is the skin. If we really want to be useful, if we want to be used by God, we have to be made vulnerable. Why are those outer shells on, those outer layers of onion, why are they there? They're there for protection. Because the onion needs to be nurtured and grow in protection But yet, they serve that purpose well. But if we want to be useful, if we want the onion to be useful, we have to get rid of that stuff, right? It's crusty. It's dried up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 21 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble purposes. If a man cleans himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. You see, that's our purpose, is to be prepared to do a good work for who? For God, for his service. We're to be prepared to be used by God for God. That's our purpose. You see, God is calling us all to dare to be vulnerable. Everything within us screams against doing such a thing. Everything within us screams, oh, no, I'm not going to make myself vulnerable. If I peel those outside layers away, I might get bruised. I might get damaged. I might get hurt. And that's true. Absolutely. When you make yourself vulnerable, those things happen. If we open up ourselves we will be wounded. Surely God doesn't want that to happen, right? Surely God wants me to not be wounded. He wants me to be healthy and happy and fun-loving and all that good stuff all the time, right? He doesn't want me to get hurt ever, right? That's not what the Word of God says. God says, I've given you everlasting life, those whoever call upon my name. But in the meantime, you're still to be in the world. And in this world, you will have trouble. He says, you will have trouble. That's a promise. Doesn't say you might have trouble. He says, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world, he said. We fail to understand that if we erect walls around our hearts, we're not just erecting barriers against other people. We're not just erecting these barriers to protect ourselves from other people. When we build these walls, we're also erecting a barrier that keeps us from reaching out to others, and it's a barrier between us and God. When we build these walls around us, when we keep those outer shell of the onion, when we keep that on us, not only does it keep us protected from other people attacking us, it keeps us from affecting other people, keeps us from being useful to other people, and it keeps us from being used by God. It keeps us from a relationship that's all that God desires it to be. It hinders. It's a barricade to that. You see, the enemy, he loves those barriers. He loves the outer shell of an onion. The old devil does. And he strives to make us believe that we must get our wounds healed first before pushing the door of our hearts open. He tells us, you're not ready for that yet. You're still hurt. You need to wallow in that pain for a little while. That way you don't ever forget it. And what that does is that actually hardens and creates another hard layer, right? Because he knows, the old devil knows that we'll never get over that. As long as we keep waiting for it to get healed and we keep protecting, he knows we're never going to get over that, and he's won. We must remember that the last thing the enemy wants us to do is to open up our heart. Because when we do, we encounter God and we begin to reach out to others. More often than not, for reasons of his own, God chooses to make the healing of our hearts a process rather than an instantaneous event. Did you ever recognize that? Has anybody ever been hurt before? Okay. A lot of you have been hurt before. And I think if we're all honest, every one of us have been hurt before. We don't just get over that as easy as somebody saying, oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't just go away, does it? There's a process that we go through. And the deeper the hurt, sometimes the longer the process is, right? Yeah. And there's some really big hurts. I'm sure there are many, many big hurts represented in this room, in this very room today. And the process for that is all different for each person. But it's a process. It doesn't just, boom, happen, and all of a sudden life is all better. And it's like it never happened. Well, that would be great and awesome, but it doesn't occur that way. God deals with us as we, just like the onion, as we peel that outside layer. That next layer is a little less crispy, right? Not quite fresh yet, still not quite good, so that layer needs to be peeled off. Well, that's a process. But as we allow God to deal with us, listen to this, at deeper and deeper levels, we become more tender. We become more useful. We become more in line with fulfilling God's purpose for us. But we must allow God to deal with us deeper and deeper. Is making ourselves vulnerable, is that easy? Well, no, it's not. Probably one of the most difficult things we could ever do is just to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. However, we must dare to become vulnerable if we want to be used by God and to fulfill His purpose for our lives. Those old hardened layers We must allow God to strip away all those outer layers and let Him deal with us at deeper and deeper levels. When we let God do that, when we let God work in our lives, then we become useful. Then we fulfill our purpose of becoming someone that brings pleasure to God. What is our purpose on this earth? Why did God even make you? Why did God make me? It's to bring honor and glory to Him. It's for His purpose, y'all. You exist for God. That's your purpose of existing, is for God. That's the ultimate purpose. Now, once you're a child of His, those purposes extend to you to being used by God to affect other people, to affect other people's lives. But the first and foremost purpose of everybody's life is to bring honor and glory to God. That's the reason for all of creation, is to bring honor and glory to God. Beginning next week, y'all, we're going to start looking at revival. And I believe this is a great segue to prepare us for revival. Because we first must look at ourselves and recognize, do I have these outer layers that are hard and crusty? Do I need to begin to allow God to strip away those? Do I need to be willing to let God remove some of those old hardened things and allow myself to be vulnerable, yet at the same time to allow God to find those things that need to be pulled away? Am I willing to be cut loose from those ties, throw them away, and throw them outside, put them in the compost pile, whatever, not to be attached back to me again? In studying for this, what's coming up, this series on revival, it's very obvious and very apparent to me, you know, that we can't make revival. We can talk about it, we can plan on it all day long, but revival doesn't begin with us. Revival begins because God is present. God is present, y'all. What revival is us recognizing the presence of God. When we recognize the presence of God, when we recognize that God is already, you know, a lot of people, they wait for a powerful, mighty move of God. Guess what? God is powerful, He's mighty, and He's already moving. Sometimes we just need to recognize it. And that's what revival is, coming back to life. Just like this, pulling those old dead stuff away, we find new freshness, we find a new purpose, we find new energy. That's what revival is, coming back to life, getting rid of the old dead stuff. And we need to do that from time to time. But it's not us, okay, God, bring the revival to us. It's us recognizing revival is here. I just want to be part of it. Use me. Show me. That's what revival is. I don't want to see God move. I want to experience God in His fullness. That's what revival is. It's my hope and my prayer that we're on that boat, that we're on that train, that we're going in that direction, that we want to experience God, that we want to be part of what He's doing here. We want to know God. Not just see God do works and God see God move. We want to know God. That's where revival begins. And it's my heart. It's my heart's cry, my prayer, that we as a church begin to even right now, begin to pray, God, show us what layers we have that we need to pull away. Show us what roots we have that we need to cut off. Show us where our crowns are that need to go, where we're putting ourselves first. Show us that stuff, Lord, so that we can be trimmed down, get rid of all that excess, the stuff that shields us, that protects us, yes, but it's not a good purpose if we're Christians, because Christ is our protection. We've already been assured eternal salvation. But God wants us to be vulnerable. He wants us to be peeled back. The freshness of us can be fragrant in this world. It can affect other people's lives. But first, we must be willing to allow that to happen. We must first be willing to strip ourselves of all those crusty, crunchy, papery layers. We had a big building out when I was raised out in Fort Stockton. It was a massive metal structure. It was empty most of the time, except right after harvest time out in Belling Farms. And we just called it the onion shed because that's what they did. They brought in all the onions, and they put all these onions in there, and they I don't know what all they did with them, but they processed them, and then they just disappeared over a period of time. But we'd go out there to the onion shed, and it'd just be a big old, you could drive a truck in there. I drove many times through there, and there'd all these paper onion outer layers just flying everywhere. If you drove real fast through there, they flew farther. But if they were just paper thin, and it smelled like onion in there, but there was nothing good in there. Bunch of shells, onion papers, and those outer layers that are all dried up and crunchy, and they fly. Of course, there were always a few rotten onions that got left behind, and the whole thing smelled like onions. But y'all, I don't know why I told you that story, except that I don't know why. But that all that stuff is not useful. It's not useful. It's not protecting. It's not doing you any good. If your purpose, let me say this, it's not doing you any good once you recognize your purpose. Those outer layers may be protecting you, but if you recognize what your purpose is, and if you understand that your purpose is to be used by God, then you recognize that those outer layers are a hindrance. I pray that we see that within our own lives, and we begin to strip away those layers. We allow God to deal with us deeper and deeper and deeper till we find we're a juicy morsel that God can really use. That's my prayer for you. We're going to have a time of invitation. I think we're going to sing just this little simple chorus. And what is it? Seek ye first. And I promise you that if you'll first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all those other things that we worry ourselves with, God will provide. God will provide what we need. He'll provide the protection we need if we'll be willing to take our own protection away and rely on His protection. Will you commit to be useful today? Will you commit to be used by God? Will you commit to do whatever it takes to be in that position where God can use you? That's my prayer for you today. During this time, I'm going to stand down front, and I'll be here if anyone wants to come and talk to me or want to pray with me or need to pray with you. Prayer benches are here and they're open. This is your time to respond. If you felt the move of the Spirit within your life today, let me encourage you to respond, to acknowledge that presence, to acknowledge that tug on your heart. This is your time. Would you stand?